Welcome to Super Tatis for Parshas Vayeshiv. I have two stories this week. The first story is a story about Rav Chaim Brisker, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, and when there was a period of time where he was living in a small town in Russia. I don't know if he was traveling through or he was living there, but after a little while, he decided that he was going to put a very heavy lock, like a deadbolt, of sorts on his door. So he would be completely separated from the people of the city. It seemed like he just wanted to have absolutely no connection to them whatsoever. So when they asked him, so what are you doing here? It sounds like you're keeping yourself under lock and key. What's the idea? He answered and he said, look, I've seen the people in this city and they are not good people. They don't help each other. They don't help the people who are the refugees after the war. So I decided to at least fulfill the Rambam that says Halach Lamaisa, that it's usher to live in a city of people who are anoshim ro'im, and same thing as a medina. And he says, rather, I'm going to just sit alone and not leave from here. Because I can't get out right now. I can't go live in a cave or live in the desert. So this is the best I'll do. At least I'll separate myself from them. So I think the idea is, look, I mean, two things is one is that obviously chesed is a very important thing. And people who don't do chesed are not the sorts of people that we want to associate with. And the second one is the challenges of holding yourself to a higher standard than the people who live around you, and the extreme challenges of living in an environment where there's something in the water and it seems to be going wrong. So this is obviously a very, very general and important lekach. Second story, another story about Rav Meir Shapira. So in Yeshivas Chacham Lublin, they put a lot of emphasis on getting their Talmidim towards being poskim and rabbonim, and they also put out time to learn how to speak. Obviously, being able to having wonderful ideas is one thing, but it's not worth very much if you can't communicate them. So the Talmidim would darshan and speak in front of their friends. It was kind of like a little chabura. And one time there was a Talmud who gave a really beautiful drasha, and it got a lot of praise. But there was one student who had a little bit of tzoros ayin, and you could hear him in the back. He said, ugh, come on, this drasha has not even a chiddush. It's got nothing good about him. In fact, it's a mefurash malbim. So the darshan obviously was very, very, he was confused. He was upset. He was embarrassed. And the Rosh Yeshiva, Shapiro, turned around immediately to the Talmud who made that comment. He said, no, you're wrong. It's not a malbim. It's a malbin, like malbin pnei chaviru barabim, meaning you're embarrassing your friend. Meaning to say, look, I understand kinas sofrim. I appreciate the fact that there's a lot of jealousy and a lot of excitement in Talmud Torah that can be channeled in a really wonderful way. But we can't embarrass somebody else. That's just not the way to be. That's not the way that the Torah that we're trying to teach and share and grow in is supposed to be. And we can do better than that. So obviously very sharp comment and very sharp commentary from the Rav Meir Shapiro. Continuing now with a couple of Divrei Torah, one of the most compelling arguments I've seen, obviously the question of whether or not the brothers were doing something terrible in selling Yosef. You know, we have the Mesura that they convened a Beis Din and they were done. They thought he was a Rodef. They thought that he was doing terrible things. And they did the best that they could. That Mesura is kind of spoken in the Sephorno. And the Sephorno gives an extraordinary raya. He says, look, the truth of the matter is, we know that the Shvatim couldn't have done anything bad because if they were bad, why would a Kodesh Baruch Hu put all of their names on the Choshen. Meaning when the Kohen Gadol is wearing these beautiful jewels representing all of the Shivtei Kor, how could it be that that we would want them represented right there when, you know, on the Choshen, that would have such extraordinary meaning for Klal Yisrael for all of time? Why would that be something we would want from Avar Yonim? I would actually ask it the other way. Is that according to the idea that maybe the brothers did do something wrong, why would they be put on the Choshen? So I'll suggest two things. One is that even if they did something wrong, the Koach HaTshuva is even greater, perhaps, than people who had pitched a perfect game, as it were. Or the other one is the power of Achdus Yisrael. We have a beautiful piece in the Pele Yoitz, for example, where he talks about Achdus is so great that even, he quotes a Chazal, that Klal Yisrael, even when they do Avodah Zorah, if they have Achdus, they'll be able to survive. And he brings a raya, I believe, from, he talks about the Dor HaFlaga, and there's a Pasuk, Chibur Atzavim, I think Yaakov or Yisrael, says they're coming together to do terrible Avodah Zorah, Hanachlo, leave them alone. Meaning the idea is that Achdus can even protect us from the punishment for Avodah Zorah. So it could be that was the Achdus that comes together on the Choshen, even though perhaps they may have done a misstep. So that's obviously a machlekus, and you can leave that sitting where it is. V'yeshev Yaakov be'eretz migrei aviv. We have the famous Rashi quoting the Chazal, I believe in Bracious Rabbah, that says, Bikesh Yaakov Leisha B'shalva, Yaakov wanted to sit in peace, but immediately HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, tzaddikim, we're going to get it good in the next world. They don't get it good in this world, and he brings them the whole Yosef story. And the Shloh makes a comment and says, look, the truth of the matter is that we need to appreciate that tzaddikim get it good in the next world, and it's tough for them in this world, so they can have a deferred and accrued compensation, as it were, in the next world. And the opposite is for Rishoyim. Rishoyim, we want them, this is brought out in, for example, the Shar Bitachon of the Chavos Levavos and many other places, we want the Rishoyim to get it good here, so that in the next world, they don't get it so good. Because that kind of evens it all out, and that's that solves the problem of Tzadik v'ra lo v'rasha v'tov lo, the theodicy problem. And then he gives us a mussar. The Shlag gives us a good stark mussar. He says, look, if Yaakov Avinu is always worried, then what should a hedyot be? A hedyot who's full of averos, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives them all this good in this world, should they not be afraid that this is going to be bad for them, or it's taking away the tovos of Olam Haba for them? Would that not be a legitimate concern? So he says, so get up and act, do more tztaka, do more chesed, keep away from the tivos, do tshuva to a Kadosh Baruch Hu with all of your heart. And it says, then he quotes a Zohar, he says, Be'eretz Megurei Aviv. He says, Megurei there means like Magur Misaviv, which refers to Yira Shamayim, Yira. He says, all of his days he was in Yira, he was worried with all kinds of things to worry about, including the worries of making sure that he's proper. My edition quotes a chidah. He says that all of the days Yaakov Avinu was worried about Divrei Torah, like it says in Mishlei Ashrei Adam Mafachig Tamid, that this is talking about Divrei Torah, that a person needs to worry that they're not going to forget their learning. And they need to do chazara, and they need to memorize, and they need to make sure that it sticks with them. They make a real Kenyan. So he was always had that sort of thing about him. So that's a different mida that Yaakov Avinu had. He was always trying to raise the bar, as it were. Next is the famous concept of Yosef saying ki im zachartani itcha kaasher yitav lachach. So he says v'hiz kartani. He says remember me twice. And Rabbeinu Bechaya ben Usher, says that, he quotes the Chazal that says, because he said it twice, he went to 2 extra years in that Beis HaSohar, in the jail, and there's a question, what are these two memories on? One is that the person he's speaking to should remember him himself, and the second one is that you should mention him to Paro. And Rabbeinu Bechaya says, of course, Yosef HaTzadik was a tzadik, and he didn't trust the Sar HaMashkim would do anything for him. It was just a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But he thought that a Kadosh Baruch Hu would make him the Shaliach, and therefore, why would it be that he would be punished? He says that since he thought that this would be the Sibo, we have a concept of Sibos and Sibos, actual causes and proximal causes. We thought that this would be the proximal cause of his Hatzala, and Rabbeinu Bechaya says, you know, really, tzaddikim shouldn't be seeking these proximate causes for their hatzalos. They just need to trust in the Ribbono Shel Olam alone. I forget who this story is with two gedolim. They ask the following question: for how many years was it that Yosef was detained in jail for each of the Memros, and the Hava Amina there was that it would be 1 year for each of them, and the Moskana was no, that actually the first one was totally fine. The first one was for doing your Hishtadlus. Everybody needs to do their Hishtadlus, but the second one is trusting that would actually work out. So that's the chap. The chap is that we need to do Hishtadlus like the Mesilas Yesharim says, it's a tax. We need to do it. It's part of our life. It's part of the human condition. But to say that we actually believe that that's going to be the operation of what's going to change things, that is not acceptable. Last, we have a Rashi. He says, we learn, Noach lo lasha adam shi yipluhu l'kiv shana ish. It's better for a person to jump into a fiery furnace. V'ay yabin pnei chaviru barabim. We have this concept that you shouldn't embarrass our friends. We shouldn't embarrass somebody else. And we learn this by the way that Tomer gives such extraordinary sensitivity to Yehuda in their story. So Tosos in Rosh Hashanah, Tosos asks the following question. He says, if that's true, that Habamaras Pnei Chaviru Barabim is so important, and like it's Ki'ilu, it's like killing somebody, then the question is, it's not considered amongst the three averos that would waive pikuach nefesh, which is avodas kochavim, gilui arayos, and shvichus damim. But he says the reason is because it's not explicitly written in the Torah, therefore it's not put there explicitly. And the Sfas Emes says it sounds like, based on Tosos, that this din is, I mean, it's just very hard. So the Orcha Ner from the Binyan Sion says the following thing. We can learn from Rabbeinu Yona a way to be Mataretz, why it's not said that it's part of those three where we say Yarag Vel Yavor. We learn it from Shar Gimel of Shari Tshuva, because there he says that there are three Averos that have an avak avira that's yarug v'yal yavur, like for example to heal somebody with the atze ashira for avodah zarah, or something similar, like you're speaking about gilui reus. So it could be then it could be that the reason why it's not counted is because it itself is like a ritzicha. It's as if you're killing somebody. And in truth, you see some physiological things change when you embarrass somebody. Literally, their face becomes white because all the blood comes out of their face, and it's as if they're killing them. The second one is that the pain of the halbanas panim is even worse than death itself. So that's why it says that it's better to do this, but it's not counted within Yarab al Yavor. We're above our 15 minutes, so I'm going to stop here. Everybody have a wonderful Shabbos.